All right, welcome to Fast Break Breakfast NBA Podcast. My name's Keith. I'm here with John and Chuck. Fellas, the ice is melting. The snow is clearing. How are you guys doing? John, how are you?
Cold enough that for the first time ever, I'm wearing the Christmas gift from my common brother-in-law from about 4 years ago. He's a mule farmer. He has use for such things. These are called Carhartt insulated underpanties.
Thermal. It's a thermal set.
It's just like a it just looks like a sweatshirt to me.
Thermals?
Just looks like a sweatshirt.
I was hoping it'd look more like Under Armour.
Oh, yeah. No,
but it doesn't.
It's not quite tight enough.
No. But that's good for
everyone.
That's
not a base layer in my
mind. That's what I'm saying. As far as things go, it's really great that you're not in an Under Armour shirt.
You don't want to see the voluptuousness in writ large?
You're zoftig, John.
Very large.
Hey, guys, I'm Chuck.
I prefer Rubenesque.
Chuck, how are you?
I'm good. Did you talk about breakfast?
I forgot to mention.
Oh, John, what'd you eat for breakfast? While you're staying warm in your little warm outfit.
We care about your warmth. We care about your belly.
Oh. It was very conspiratorial this morning. I had something Chuck likes to pontificate upon very often, the turkey bacon.
Oh, you had actual turkey bacon.
And the eggs. My old lady's on a fat shred, whatever that means. And that means the bacon is gone in my house.
Ugh.
And it has been replaced by turkey leg meat. But you know what? It's not as bad as I thought because we bought the expensive stuff.
What is the end game of your old lady's? You've been talking a lot about nutritional improvements in your household for a while. What's the end game? Is this till you guys die? Is this a rest of your lives thing?
She is a very healthy, fit person.
Have you started eating the sauerkraut like I recommended?
No, but I swear to God, she looked for the. It's because it's a special kind of sauerkraut, and I swear to God, she looked for it.
I know how long John's girlfriend's going to be doing this.
Until I die.
Until you look better.
Absolutely.
That's effectively why she's
absolutely
doing it. She wants you to stop looking like that.
That yes. is.
So. Well, I think it's like trickle-down economics.
And that does work. I mean,
it doesn't work, clearly. It didn't work for Reagan. It's not working for me.
Is it starving the beast? That's what she's doing. She's literally starving the beast.
At this point, she's excited if I shave.
Well, that's. I don't think we even told our listeners, but like 2 months ago, I promised a change, and I did cut my hair. I had hair coming down the back, you know, on my back.
Now instead of
now just have a haircut.
Instead of looking dude. Like the guy from True Detective, you look like Captain Obvious from those commercials.
I'm looking much more like Captain Obvious than I do Rust Cole, present day.
Chuck, what did you eat?
Chuck, what'd you have for breakfast?
You know. I had a wonderful, you know, Subway does breakfast sandwiches. I was in a rush.
Oh, no.
No, it's eggs.
You can't avoid Subway commercials.
Is the bread,
they're everywhere.
Is the bread made from eggs?
I'm sure they use egg in the dough.
Eggy bread? I was hoping it was like.
No, it's one of the, it was like a flatbread thing. They
sure.
Put some cheese and some bacon in it, and it was a perfect morning breakfast. I enjoyed
and
it.
Once
it wasn't
you,
fatty. It wasn't gross. It was light.
But then everyone knows you went in Subway because you have that. Baked bread smell,
right?
That's
you
like permeates the building. Like
weird, but that's pumped in through their vents.
You can't. Oh.
Of all the foul and heinous fast foods that there are across the nation, when my band would go on tour, Subway always finished last in our.
Yeah,
it's the worst. And it shouldn't be because it's just cold cuts, right? Mm-hmm. But there's something about it that's very disgusting.
Just sterile.
Something the way the sandwich collapses and it's like all stuck together.
Microwavable, you know. Heat thing that they do to make your sandwich hot. It's just, it removes the soul from everything. It's gross.
We need to do a bet at some point during the season where we make a bet that we can all man up towards, belly up to the bar, and the loser gets hit in the face with a Subway tuna melt.
That works.
Foot long.
What I don't get is, if they're all sandwich artists, why are they all doing the same kind of work? Mm. You know what I mean? It's like
pop art.
I have a
riddle solved.
They're one of those Andy Warhol like factories.
Thomas Kincaid.
So one of the last times I went to Subway, it's one of the only fast food places near where I work. And so if I have like a 20-minute lunch break, it is the only option to get food.
Yeah.
And the people who work there, I'm not sure what nationality they were originally. Mm-hmm. They speak a language I don't know what it is.
They're probably Kurdish.
Something to that effect. So I'm making the sandwich, and like the manager guy is actually the one putting my sandwich together, mm-hmm. and when he finishes making it, he's taking a lot of care, like the placement of the tomato, of the cucumber, mm-hmm. of the spinach. His eyes light up like an artist. He's proud of what he's done. I know this because he picks up the sandwich, turns to the other workers like, and like shows it and they're smiling. And then he turns to another one of his workers and this he holds it up.
This is like the beginning of The Lion King.
And then he just says something. I don't know what he says. And then I just look at him and I'm like, looks good. And it really did. I think they did a good job of matching. Maybe it had been like one of their store's goals was we need to make our food look like the photos, the promo photos. So he did.
The anti-Checkers policy.
Right. No food looks any less like their commercial.
If you ever go to Checkers and you look at the thing on that menu, you'll be like, this is going to be quite a meal.
Nope.
And then when it's delivered to you, the meat is like a very strange, like, purple gray. Yeah.
The guy at the line was doing burpees on top of it. Yeah. It's, like, completely flattened.
The fries are completely red.
Right.
Like, blood red
fries.
I am
curious. I've been seeing a lot of the Jack in the Box commercials.
Oh, yeah.
I'm curious to see what an actual Jack in the Box sriracha burger looks like out of the wrapper.
You know what? There's one on the way home to Murfreesboro for me. So.
Why don't you do that and tweet that out?
I'll go to Jack in the Box and eat a taco any day of the week.
Oh, those tacos
are delightful.
Truth.
I'll tell you what I had for breakfast. I had some of the, you know, the old snow day leftovers.
Mm-hmm.
I had some slices of a hard salami, some provolone cheese, kind of a little antipasto perhaps for breakfast. It was good.
Charcuterie.
Yeah. So it was a nice way to start the day.
Baller.
All right. We start every episode after our breakfast talk with a thing we call the breakfast in bed apologies. This is our chance to make right what we might have gotten incorrect on a previous episode. Does anyone have an apology they would like to offer?
I'll apologize to fans of the Denver Nuggets and fans in general for underestimating just how much that team hated Brian Six More Weeks Shaw. Because they've rattled off some solid victories since canning his ass.
Have you seen the interim coach?
Yeah, I have.
He is a motivational speaker. He's like, he gives me that large pastor vibe.
He's got a little Frank T.J. Mackey in him as well. On the side,
I almost threw out several catchphrases and then decided I don't want to take the time to bleep those out.
I think we can say respect the a doodle do. Dude will do.
The Nuggets are kind of playing. Oh, they've won two in a row, at the very least. After looking listless and having a long losing streak, you fire the coach, you get a little bump, and they got their bump.
Well, get ready for when Nurkic comes back.
Yeah.
My boy.
King Jeffrey and Nurkic.
That's my worst.
What?
The Nuggets. Just the Nuggets in general.
Just you don't like them?
Oh, my God.
Just the
what a bunch of children. Like literal children.
I did like
when your coach says no more pizza and nachos before games.
Yeah, but I mean that's
they didn't play for him because they're babies.
That seems to be a bit of you're kind of echoing the sentiments of various Indiana Pacers at this point. But I mean, some of the greatest players ever are the biggest coach killers. I mean, coach killing is just something that happens. Larry Bird killed a coach. Magic Johnson killed two coaches. God help any Bulls coach before Phil Jackson. Yeah. LeBron got to pick coaches at whim. I mean, it's just the coach doesn't have a lot of power anymore.
They do. I mean, it's hard to say. You know, we know apparently Shaw had some trouble relating to those guys, but it was David West, right, who stood up and said that you know, you can't win in the NBA with if you have children. And
babies.
So he pretty much called it the whole Nuggets roster.
And then they immediately started winning. So I say in your eye, David West.
Another Nuggets.
Actually, I take that back because you're terrifying.
Yeah, I was like, that's one of the when we make the NBA character fighting game, David West is going to be one of the main bosses.
He's the last level. He's like Koopa.
Yeah, forget Shaq Fu, David West Fu. There's a game I'll buy.
Another Nuggets note I saw on Twitter whenever Joffrey comes in the game, they play the Game of Thrones theme. So they're on it. I like it when NBA teams are on it with the presentation.
That's good.
Chuck, you have an apology?
I'm really sorry, Alex Len, for getting dunked on a bunch.
Being embarrassed.
And then scooped up by Hassan Whiteside and thrown on the ground. John's going to claim that Len had him in a rear naked
choke. I don't know who you're apologizing. This is not an apology.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Alex Len, for getting worked.
That was sad. That was a child. Speaking of children, that was a child lashing out at his shame.
Yeah.
Speaking of children lashing out, Chuck ruined our good radio segment by cutting off my. I do have something to say. As someone who loves the MMA game, and I prefer Hassan Whiteside to Alex Lynn, but Hassan Whiteside was in trouble because Alex Lynn, and I'm pretty impressed by this, immediately put Hassan Whiteside into his guard. The legs were wrapping around his body. It was remarkable. Luckily, Big John stepped in, separated them.
Alex Lynn just saved, Tyler Johnson saved Alex Lynn's life. He came in 125 pounds of him. I don't know.
Tyler Johnson saved a lot of
lives. Well, he was on fire. He was on fire that night.
He was on fire. He saved us.
26 points and a fight breakup.
I mean, it was funny. So Hassan Whiteside's fight style seemed to be the Jeff Van Gundy.
Absolutely.
It looked like he was just going for the ankle to hang on for dear life.
No, he was trying to pull the scoop. He was trying to do the, what was that, Lamar Odom, Ray Allen? Remember that? When they were like years ago, they had a little get cut. They were wearing very short shorts. It might have been the late 90s. But they, it was disgusting.
It was just funny seeing one of the gangliest
I love
NBA players just go for the leg, a 7-footer who's like, he didn't fight up top. He went diving for the feet. It's just a hilarious, man.
I love the
hilarious video.
But that's poor technique, Hassan. You need to get to your Brazilian jiu-jitsu instructor and let him see that tape.
Yeah.
Use that wingspan.
Well, he's trying to get on that WWE game. He's trying to spread his...
He's trying to get his rating up on the WWE
game. He wants to be on all of the 2K
2K16,
franchise.
WWE 2K16.
Yeah, he wants it.
I'm
sorry for cutting off your reply, John, prior. He was crapping on it before the show. And
not
I didn't
crapping
want,
on
you
it.
You crapped all over it. I'm just glad I took the ugly out.
My breakfast in bed apology goes to one Ruben Patterson.
Uh-oh.
Who I incorrectly last week attributed the story of him stopping a team bus with a gun. That was not Ruben Patterson.
Yes.
That was Chris Mills.
Yes.
Of the Warriors, who stopped the Blazers team bus with his car and was reportedly armed at the time. This was all based on a incident with Bonzi Wells where he was going to have the last word. So I got that information wrong.
We need that 30 for 30 about the Blazers.
So to Ruben Patterson, I apologize. I also forgot to mention that he is a registered sex offender.
That you
so
did.
My apologies, Ruben Patterson.
It's a little double-edged there, no, Keith.
What? I'm just apologizing. I got the story wrong. So those are our...
And adding that he is...
Much like Hassan Whiteside,
he has sex crimes.
Correct.
It was correct.
So those are our breakfast in bed apologies. Now for the steak and eggs best thing. What's the best thing you saw this last week?
My favorite. It was Monte Ellis. Dallas was playing the Nets. And it was just a random old 360 reverse layup from a Rajon Rondo assist. It was gorgeous. He caught it in stride. Joe Johnson met him at the rim, and he just spun around him.
Johnson met him at the rim?
Yeah. Which was, not specifically difficult. But, it was a gorgeous move. One of the prettier things I've seen this
it's
year.
Good because – and Mavs fans need pretty highlights.
Yeah. There's something we tweeted this week. John, remember what did I tweet at you today? It was something about the line for
Rajon Rondo over under effect.
They're like over 9-26.
9-26-1 on the over under. Definitely not the Parrish line, the ever so famous bet whatever Keith says not to bet.
Bet against whatever I'm feeling. Whatever I feel the strongest about, go against that.
Right.
That's right. The most knowledgeable NBA fan is also the worst NBA gambler.
He can't gamble. He's bad at it. For weeks, we just bet the opposite of what he said, and everyone made a bunch of money.
So. And everyone's happy. My best thing goes to, I'd actually specifically been talking negatively about the Raptors and about the play of guards Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan. I was saying they were just taking terrible shots and not being smart in how they attacked offenses or defenses. And then in this last week during interviews, they described themselves as trash. When asked about his game, to describe his game, Kyle Lowry said, "Me? I'm trash." DeMar DeRozan did not shy away. And when asked about the status of his game, said, "Right next to the trash can, both trash." So I'm pretty happy. They both recognize they're being horrible.
Good.
So yeah, that's my best thing.
For me, this is a bit of a retro best, maybe a bit of a Tim Hortons type best. The Atlanta Hawks unveiled a fresh new Dominique Wilkins statue, and when asked about said statue, Larry Bird said, and I quote, "I'm pretty sure it's not made in a defensive stance." That's like a 34-year-old rivalry renewed. That is
it's a good quote. Bird, not known for his defense.
No.
One of the better help defenders of all time.
But a great quote, nonetheless.
I refute that with four simple words. Bird steals the ball.
Yep.
That was such a bad inbounds pass.
Thanks, Zeke.
What does... I saw someone ask this. Do you guys think Michael Jordan is pissed that everyone else is getting statues now?
No, he just, I don't know if you know this, but he's worth $1 billion now.
Oh, he is worth $1 billion.
$1 billion. He just reached net worth of $1 billion.
According to Forbes. A lot of guesswork goes into that.
I mean, he's going to give half that up to his 27-year-old girl
wife. Or his bookie.
Yeah.
Right.
Although, if you know anything about Michael Jordan, he could be worth $1 trillion and he would still be pissed if someone got another starting lineup figure before he did.
Right.
So I'm going to go with, yes, he was pissed.
All right. Those are our steak and eggs. Now the opposite. What's the worst of the week? The cream of wheat. Worst of week.
DeAndre Jordan, you're fired. I don't care how many double-doubles you put up. You held the ball at the rim. This probably should have been my best. With a full second left.
It could have been my best.
As Chris Paul begged for you to shoot, and you just stared at him mouth agape. Not unlike the horse head you like to wear and frighten young children with.
I know we're a audio medium.
Yes.
But...
you need to go look at that.
I hope people have seen the slow-mo of Chris Paul yelling, helplessly trying to express to him to just dunk the ball. And knowing he only had... so Chris Paul shoots it, hits the rim.
Gets it on the rim.
The shot clock buzzer goes off. The game clock stops. So they screwed up. The game clock operators screwed up. But DeAndre Jordan, like myself, thought the game was over. I was watching it, wasn't paying attention, but so DeAndre Jordan just holding the ball, and Chris Paul looks like Kevin Hart or somebody just jumping up and down and pointing at the rim and going, shoot the ball.
Yeah. You know, it was a lot
that
like
that video is so funny.
Kevin Hart and Ice Cube's interplay, if only Ice Cube wasn't somehow the same height as Kevin Hart,
yeah,
which was kind of mind-blowing for
maybe
me.
Maybe Terry Crews.
There you have it.
Yeah, that's the comedy duo I'd like to see together.
Is that not a microcosm of what the Clippers experience must be like for Chris Paul?
Chris Paul is playing so well. He's had just spectacular games.
He is surrounded by fools.
I mean, we're talking about this Portland Clippers game. And also in that game is like the Portland threw a really bad outlet pass with like 20 seconds left where Hidetoukoglu ran to try to like steal it and missed it. And it left Batum wide open for the game tying 3-pointer. To which, again, I was just laughing like Doc Rivers is so angry at Hidetoukoglu for a defensive play. It's like, this man is years beyond washed up.
Yeah.
Like
that game made my heart and wallet ache.
Yeah. That was a fantastic game.
The Clippers had that game so won, and you knew as soon as it went to overtime that it was a Blazer victory.
You kind of just have to feel bad for the Clippers, especially, you know, with Blake Griffin being hurt, with Spencer Hawes's haircut. They're doing, you know, they have to deal with a lot.
Ubuntu.
That stupid haircut of his, that weird in between being long and short, but puts the weird half up, half down bun on the top. Spencer Hawes, you're in California.
I think
you can't
that's
look like that.
He is a
card carrying NRA.
He's a neo.
Yeah,
he's a neocon.
I was like, that is a man who is not attempting to fit into liberal California.
Yeah, that's what
that
it
man
is.
Wants to stick out. He's the bright red dot in
but he looks
blue.
Like a hippie.
He does look a little like a hippie.
Dirty hippie.
He does look. Maybe he's just
confused,
some kind
self-hating hippie.
Yeah,
just another abnormally tall person.
This was almost going to be my hot cake. Hot take. I'm still talking about the Clippers before I give my cream of wheat. Last week I was making a note because the Clippers were playing so well. Did they screw up by not trading Blake Griffin for like a king's ransom and then just building around the last couple of years of Chris Paul and like locking up DeAndre Jordan? Like, what if they just surrounded with a bunch of like great, I mean, a formerly healthy Wes Matthews on the wing, you know, like just surround shooters, do that Orlando Magic ball, like back when it was Dwight Howard and Stan Van. It just seems like they're playing most people thought, I myself thought, they were going to lose badly. They had this, they're still in the midst of an incredible stretch of very difficult games. And with Blake Griffin not playing, I thought they were dead. I thought they were going to just plummet in the standings. They've done so well, even though they lost this last game.
And then DeAndre Jordan turned into David Robinson.
Yeah. Right. And DeAndre Jordan just grabbing every rebound.
Yeah, he's doing his best Hassan Whiteside impression. It's good for him, man. The dynamic changes, and Hawes has a big, you know, part to do with it. I think he spreads the floor a little more, gives JJ.
But he's still so bad.
Yeah, but that for some reason people believe that he can shoot from the corners, and it gives Chris Paul that extra space.
That's the Enes Kanter approach,
right? Right. You know, the reputation that he's right. a shooter is more than the reality. But yeah, it is weirdly working out for them, and it just doesn't make sense.
Yep. All right, my cream of wheat. Back to the Raptors. My worst of the week is DeMar DeRozan. You're my best. You're also my worst. So DeMar DeRozan, who admittedly is playing like trash, he had a chance to get an easy bucket against the New York Knicks. He attempted a 360 dunk. He missed it. Knicks got the ball. Knicks got the win. Just score the ball. You're in a slump. Take the easy buckets. So that's my worst.
He's just lucky Lionel Hollins wasn't coaching that team.
Oh, he would have been buried.
I have a worst.
Yes.
Guys.
What's your cream of wheat?
Sunday. Past Sunday. LeBron missed 8 free throws and lost the game. It was watching.
Chuck is dancing.
I was doing so many cartwheels in my living room. And those last two, I had a climactic moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Centimore.
You know, it was.
Vinegar strokes.
I looked like I was having the time of my life. Guys. LeBron James is a terrible choker.
He chokes. Oh my goodness, he choked.
He's just bad at it. And it isn't anything specific about pressure or anything. It's just he gets in his own head sometimes. He's just one of those players that overthinks things. And I think it's made him one of the best players ever, obviously, because he's a real student of the game. He understands it. But he really, you know, going back to that dumb thing and when they played the first game of the year where he's like, this is the biggest sports spectacle of all time. No one cared about that game except me because they got their ass beat. But it was a terrible, terrible, terrible performance by one LeBron James. And ha, ha, ha.
I can only imagine the joy it gave you watching him choke away. Because he played in a mate. Take out the free throws.
Great game.
He was unbelievable.
Unreal.
Like, clearly you're like, oh, this is probably the best player of our generation.
Yeah.
He was so good.
He looked incredible.
And then he choked away everything at the free throw line.
Beautiful.
In an age where friends don't ever, ever call each other, I picked up the phone, dialed Chuck's number.
He did.
And had a voice-to-voice conversation with him.
Voice conversation.
About this. And I could tell he was smoking a cigarette.
I stopped smoking months ago.
As if he had just achieved something.
Yeah. There was a sense of giddiness in my voice, I'm sure. Like
Absolutely.
A little girl going to, you know, junior prom.
Usually, if you have to call Chuck, he's like, hey.
No.
I just ate some fast food.
I feel terrible.
And then Hardee's drive-thru again. I went back for seconds.
This time, he sounded like a kid on the last day of school entering summer vacation.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about LeBron's overinflated sense of self for a moment. I'd also like to point out, when LeBron was on the Heat, yes, people watched those games. No one's watching the Cavs. The ratings for the Cavs are really poor. He's not even the biggest spectacle in the league at this point.
No. People don't care about him. You know,
that's interesting. I didn't know that. I didn't know that. The ratings stats.
He's not pulling the ratings of the Miami thing.
I'm watching them because they're a buzzsaw right
yeah.
now. I mean, they're destroying everyone.
Terrifying.
But outside of that choked away
Rockets game.
It was exactly,
I think, what he wanted. He wanted to go back to Cleveland and be forgotten. And then to just play. And it would have never been that case if he stayed in Miami. It would have always been that sort of weird scrutiny that wasn't ever deserved and was nonstop throughout those 4 years.
We're morphing now in to the Waffle House Presents Scattered, Smothered, Covered Thoughts after wrapping up our best and worst. So what else is going on in the league? I guess we should probably talk about
Russell Westbrook's dent.
I was just going to say Russell Westbrook.
Oh, my goodness.
Just because he'd been my best thing like 4 weeks in a row, and now I'm almost tired of him.
Yeah. The Phantom of the
we
Thunder.
We are sick of your brother.
Now that he finished the month of February with that 30 and 14 and 12 or whatever he's averaging, he is just the him and Wilt, the only players ever to average 40 points, 14 assists and 10 rebounds over a three-game span.
Right.
So when you're doing things that only Wilt has done in those massive possession games of the NBA back then, it's very impressive.
For a moment, I thought he was going after Jordan's triple-double streak, and I was really just tantalized.
It's still on. I mean,
he finally blew it.
Yeah, that's right. He blew it. He had four in a row.
Yeah. Seven players have had more than 15-15-15 triple-doubles.
Claude have mercy.
Yeah, he is one of them.
So,
but there's something going on here because he's playing incredible, and when Durant's out and he plays, they stink. They are bad. They are 2-7 against teams over 500 when Westbrook's playing and Durant's out.
It is all for naught.
That stat is not, for me, that stat doesn't mean much.
Yeah.
Because most of those games, because they're in the West, most of those games are against Western teams. So to tell me that they have a losing record against the really good teams without Durant, I say, well, that's not Westbrook's fault.
Well, here's a stat that should show you how it's a problem, is that when Durant is out, no one else on the Thunder scores.
Right.
That is a problem.
He's scoring over 50% of their points.
When he scores, I believe the stat is they're 2-5 when he scores over 40.
Right.
Yeah.
And one of those wins now is the Sixers overtime. And that was a skin of their teeth against, you know, a poor team. He had in the game, the 49-16-10 game, he had a negative 12 plus minus, which is wild.
Yeah. Last year they were better when Durant was out. Durant was 9-6 last year without Westbrook. So the team's different. Obviously, Durant's better than Westbrook, but it's hard to argue that when he's putting up MVP-like numbers, ridiculous and Jordan-esque.
It's a different team, too. No more Reggie Jackson. He's been replaced by the infallible Deion Waiters. Serge Ibaka is a different player, although Serge just had a really good game and kind of remind me of last year's Serge a little bit. But furthermore, I like that Russell Westbrook is starting to sound like a more thoughtful player, in that in the last game where he had a wide open Serge Ibaka in the corner for what could have been a huge three, he admits, that was a bad decision. I shouldn't have taken that shot. He was there. He was open. I have to defer more. So maybe we're going to see him come out of this. It's been brilliant basketball to watch on an individual level. Been some tough losses for the Thunder. But more importantly, he did it with a terrifying hole in his face in one of
those. A hole in his face.
It was like Edward James almost writ large.
He looked like Manuel Noriega's son.
It was so bad.
But it was like a weird, like, who doesn't bruise when you get a knee to the chin that fractured?
Well, I don't think there's not a whole lot of blood right there in your body.
I don't know the physics. We need to talk
we need some biology.
That's what we should do. We need to make this show better by bringing in scientific experts to explain.
Well, I nominate Dr. Detroit.
I had the experience of that game I can't remember what night it was, but it was one of those where it's the only game on. It was a nationally televised only game on. It was late at night. I actually had gotten in bed and was watching on my iPad with no sound.
Oh dear.
So I'm watching it. I see him get hit and then he stands up and I'm not listening to the dialogue of the commentators. And I'm looking at it, I'm like, oh, it looked like there was a dent in the side of his face, and they didn't show it again. And then they showed him again. And I'm like, they're almost dead. That was not there before. And then I'm like, why is he still in the court? Is part of his skull broken? Shouldn't he be going to a hospital?
It was like someone was impersonating Russell Westbrook. Tom Cruise, Ethan Hunt, was impersonating Russell Westbrook for the
two Tom Cruise characters already.
For the next Mission Impossible movie, and the mask started to fail, the digital mask.
I got you.
Digital flesh, and it started to coagulate and fall apart.
I've got a theory that he's basically, he's definitely a robot. And they just need to upgrade his software. He needs to get a firmware update to get that weird no bruise bug written out of the system. He's
Skynet.
That's it. We're all gonna be coming back. That's the way they would get into it though, through basketball. You know what I mean? Skynet. That's a very
Uncle Chuck, everybody. Bring in the puns.
Dad jokes.
Lowest form of humor.
Hey. Not for everybody.
So we've had
sexual dictionary definition of pun.
We should talk. One of our players that I think both John and I are a really big fan of, Wesley Matthews, is now out for the season, torn Achilles. Yeah. And not only is that a crushing blow to the Trailblazers as a team, it's such a terrible thing because he had an impending free agency.
He was about to get paid.
I had been referring to him as future Grizzly Wes Matthews many times. Yeah. And now it's like, oh, I guess I don't want him because he's now hurt. Like he was going to double.
That's a multi-year injury.
In his NBA career, he's made something like under $30 million, which isn't a massive amount for someone as good as him. And so he was going to double that on this next contract. And now
he's below the NBA poverty line.
He's still going to get a good contract, but it is going to affect his value and affect how much teams pursue him. So it's really sad. He was my favorite Blazer, I think. And
absolutely. I mean, it makes the Aaron Aflalo trade look really, really, really prescient now.
Well, and it does help out. And again, we've seen signs that Nicholas Batum,
he's back,
especially in this Clippers game. We're talking about unbelievable.
Weird Batum stat lines are back. And
I believe John, you'd mentioned a while ago that before the trade deadline that you wanted the Grizzlies to buy low on Batum.
Yes.
and just hope he rebounds.
Please.
Because if he does rebound, I mean,
that guy puts up ridiculous, super Greek freak stat lines. I love him when he's good.
Yeah,
he's very Georgie Porgy.
Greek Freak would kill for those numbers that he that he has. Here's a random stat. This crosses over into a football knowledge, but I'm going to call this the Grand Slam Breakfast Tweet of the Week. I saw someone user Jumpin' Jack Flask. It's a solid handle too.
Very solid handle.
So Jumpin' Jack Flask points out, he's a Pacers fan, points out this will be the first time since 1986. That Indiana does not have a player named Reggie on the roster of its NBA or NFL team.
Oh, wow.
And I have no facts to back that up.
No,
and they could easily draft a Reggie.
And no one is ever going to
look
that up.
But still, that's a fun little thought.
Well, we all know that.
So Reggie Wayne must have been waived.
He did.
That's
football.
You just learned that.
Football news. Reggie Wayne is.
You know that the Pacers aren't going to sign anybody named Reggie.
Hells no.
Because they have that blind racist owner that only signs.
That is
I don't know where to send our listeners back. That's a conspiracy theory from early in our series run.
Everyone on the Pacers sounds like they could be white.
So Chuck's conspiracy theory is
we'll rehash. Sometimes
is that the Pacers have a blind racist owner who thinks he's only employing white guys.
Yeah. Reggie Cleveland could never play for the Pacers despite being white.
Yeah. Do you know how happy they were that Solomon Hill actually plays basketball well? They were just picking him up because of the name.
Solomon Hill.
Hedge fund management.
That's right.
It's very biblical.
Sounds like a judge.
It's a wise name.
Yes.
It's incredibly wise. I'd like a metatextual note. College basketball frowned upon on this podcast.
Yes,
NFL football
slavery
allowed.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Well, yeah, yeah. That's
it's cool. They're professional.
Yeah, we don't mind referencing the NFL.
No.
That's a national sport. Everyone knows that.
Yeah, college basketball is terrible.
Get back to me when it's March now, boys.
It is March.
You'll get the madness. You will watch all of it.
I've never caught that bug, honestly.
Oh,
the only year I've ever watched the full tournament was like '94 Kentucky.
Hypothetically, how much money do you make in a week?
You know, enough.
Just hypothetically, not really. Okay, $1,000. Okay, so what we'll do is when March Madness comes around, we will bet 800 of it on March Madness. And you will love March Madness.
Yeah, I think
that is Uncle John's tip for enjoying college basketball.
Right. Oh,
wager 80% of your income on something you don't even know.
You don't even
follow. Because suddenly you're invested.
Uh-huh. That's how you love it.
That's the responsible gambling tip, by the way.
Is do nothing right.
24-year-old John would have said, take $1,400.
Borrow
that you don't have.
Yeah.
Call someone named Dom, who lives off of 42nd. And voila. You have simultaneously heightened every experience you're going to have for the next week.
The Milwaukee Bucks have not won a game.
Putrid.
Since Michael Carter-Williams.
Jason Kidd tried to get a player in his own image, and he's going to pay that price for a while.
Almost, perhaps in the image that he wished he was.
Yeah, indeed.
It was probably Jason Kidd's like, man, what if I was 6'7"? So they are on a West Coast trip, but they're also not playing the West powers. They're losing to the middling. So I don't know. Again, we think that trade was made with more long term implications, not wanting to pay Brendan Knight this year, but they're still struggling.
Brendan Knight wasn't going to re-sign.
Man,
with them. He wasn't going to play there.
They are struggling.
It was restricted. They had the option.
There are moments of sheer brilliance, though, because did everyone see that 16-0 run they went against the Warriors?
Yeah, they ran off a bunch on the Warriors.
I mean, it's
when they're clicking defensively, it's ridiculous.
Because it is ridiculous, and I think the winner is I think they're probably going to commit to Chris Middleton,
right?
Who is one of those great. Now he enters the great, fraternity of second round NBA players who've become good. It's a very, very small fraternity. You know, the Michael Reds.
Yeah.
And the Rashard Lewis's of the world.
Right.
Where the Manu Ginobili's, where it's like, and he is very good. It's one of he's a guy I watch so often and keep thinking like he's playing like he's above his level. And I keep waiting for it to regress, but he's not, he's just a really good player. But yeah. Other than that, the Bucks are kind of struggling. You know,
you know what it is.
What?
Okay. It was finally those, you know, remember those years in Phoenix, Jason Kidd dyed his hair blonde?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think it's just finally
it was the 90s, man.
Come home to roost. It was the Slim Shady era. I think that's all it is. His brain's been fried by bleach.
Hey, it happens. Mm-hmm. Or also degenerate gambling.
Degenerate gambling. And there are other things he did that are terrible, too, but we won't talk about.
He was a terrible man. Yeah.
Don't forget, guys.
You know what? I think I'm going to bring back. It's been a second. We haven't done this since early in the year. Mm-hmm. We're going to do a little trivia. And
what do we call that on this break
is,
breakfast?
This is Game of Scones. So what's going to happen here? Oh, we have some non-copyrighted music, John. Oh. If you want to stop singing.
Oh, do we?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right. That was a parody. He was
some public domain. Oh, yeah.
Fair use.
We were making fun.
Right. Scones of scones.
Game of scones. Right. All right. So this is the what we will be doing. This is about 2000s basketball, as in the year, the season 2000-2001 through the season 2009-2010.
Right.
So I'm going to ask. We're going to be talking about the Miami Heat and the Memphis Grizzlies.
Uh-oh. Chuck is about to take me to school.
So Chuck is going to have to answer the questions about the Grizzlies.
Oh.
And John is going to have to answer the question.
No, this is not fair. You're going to win.
About the Grizzlies. So I think John has the edge here.
Significant edge.
All right, so.
I did live near Miami for some time.
And Miami played in four games.
But here's how it evens out, though. There are four correct answers for John. There are six possible correct answers for Chuck.
Hey now.
So
it evens out.
The question is, during these years, 2000 through 2010, which players on these teams led them in scoring for a year? So Chuck, there are six Memphis Grizzlies that led the Grizzlies in scoring during this decade.
Right.
And John, there are four Miami Heat that led them in scoring. I'm going to give you guys maybe just a second or two. Mm-hmm. And then I like
so
the whole
just like rattling them off. Or we go.
I'm
going
to give
one?
You. We're going to go one for one.
How many do we have to get?
And you have well
until whoever gets
until whoever miss. I'm going to give you three strikes.
Okay.
Three strikes.
Okay, it's a good idea.
And at since the there are six Grizzlies, Chuck, you get to go first. Name a Grizzly who led the Memphis Grizzlies in scoring during one of those 10 seasons of 2002. Pau Gasol, it's correct. Mm-hmm. John, Miami Heat. You only have four to choose from.
Dwyane Wade.
That is correct.
Dwyane.
That is correct. Chuck.
Sharif Abdul-Rahim.
That is correct.
I hate this game so much.
It's a harder game for John. There's only
so
four.
Because I can't even say LeBron.
No,
because he wasn't there yet. And now I won't even count that as a strike, even though that was a definite kind of a...
Yeah, I'm fishing. I'm going to say things like, man, I don't even think Shaquille won or let him in scoring one year. Because, and I'm just watching Chuck's eyeballs.
So, all right. So you still got three guys out there.
I'm going to go with the man.
he's putting on sunglasses so he can't give away any of the clues.
This isn't fair. I'm going to say Shaquille O'Neal.
No, that's wrong. It's one strike. All right. Chuck, a Grizzly. You have Powell and you have Abdur. See, I think it's real hard for Chuck now. I don't think he knows any Grizzlies.
No, those are the two. Let's go. Mm-mm. I got nothing.
All right. I got to give you guys hints.
Give him a hint.
I do need a hint.
John, on the three remaining Heat players, none of them are in the NBA.
Glenn Rice.
Chuck, all of your people are still in the NBA.
Really?
Yes. So now we got some ideas.
There's one that's really easy that you're just not thinking of.
Yeah, it's Randolph.
Zach Randolph. Right. Yes, that's one.
Okay. All right. I'm good. I got one now. You got
John. Can you think of a Miami
I'm
Heat
just
player?
Saying Glenn Rice because I want to
no,
see
no,
Glenn
no,
Rice.
Glenn Rice. Not Glenn Rice. Not Glenn Rice.
I know.
All right. All right.
1997.
So he's got two.
All right.
All right. So I have no strikes.
Yeah, but move it along.
Another really easy one for you.
Marc Gasol.
Nope.
No.
It's a strike. John, here's a hint.
I'm gonna.
I didn't get a hint that time.
I'm gonna go with. I can't. Everyone I say is from the '90s.
Here's a sad hint.
Yes,
this player passed away. And very recently.
Alonzo Mourning.
Alonzo Mourning is still with us, right?
No, he's dead.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No, Alonzo Mourning is alive and is in the front office for the Miami Heat.
Yeah,
I've officially started trolling. Chuck.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, Alonzo Mourning's alive. No, you know who he's talking about.
Yeah, Anthony Mason.
Anthony Mason.
Yeah, he led us.
He led the Heat in scoring?
All right, so Chuck wins this one.
Wow, Eddie Jones?
Eddie Jones probably.
Eddie Jones is the other. And one more. This one's harder.
Eddie Jones.
This one's an NBA journeyman bouncing from contender to contender.
Bimbo Coles.
The last few years.
Oh, James Posey.
No, Caron Butler.
Oh, Caron Butler.
Yeah, yeah. You're missing for the Grizzlies, Chuck.
That was humiliating.
There's three of them.
You're missing three. One played on the Heat.
Can I give him a hint?
One was a part of
Mike Miller.
Twice. Yeah,
twice.
And then we have a Sacramento King and a Milwaukee Buck.
One of whom, his name means homosexual.
Rudy Gay.
Rudy Gay. And then it's not Miracle Whip.
OJ May.
All right. So that was our game of scones.
Man, that was hard.
That was kind of hard.
It was kind of hard. I thought you guys would do a little better, but it was difficult.
It was difficult.
To be honest, I did know it. I did know Jones. I just had to get Alonzo Mourning in there.
Yeah.
Definitely didn't know Anthony
Mason. There was no preparation. It was hard. I actually did that on my own, and I did not get Anthony Mason or Caron Butler when I was doing the
Caron Butler would have been the one I wouldn't.
That really surprised me.
I forgot Anthony Mason played for the Heat.
Yeah, well, we put that on our Twitter.
Oh, well,
yeah, we did.
I put
really
a picture.
Really don't follow our Twitter very closely.
Yeah, John's real bad. We're trying to get him better, but
I still watch like cable television and stuff like that.
Yeah.
All right. Did you guys notice this is more of a scattered, smothered, covered thought? Can we talk about the Josh Smith coming back to Atlanta? That was kind of funny.
Getting booed out the gym.
He was getting booed, and then he hit a three, and then he like just shushed the crowd, and they were about 14, and then they lost.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then he threw them under the bus, calling them bandwagon fans, which that's true.
Absolutely no true. One in Atlanta are really good fans.
Hawks are like the most notorious empty arena playoff games. Yeah. Like,
not good.
That doesn't change that Josh Smith is a franchise killing player.
I would also say that takes me to end of that game. The Rockets without James Harden and Dwight Howard, I really enjoy.
Like
those are two. Like, I mean, James Harden is playing amazing this year. He kicked LeBron on the balls. Chuck, that could have been your best thing, but I guess you just let that go. But like,
wasn't so much a kick in the balls, but he jostled them and said, "Stay away from me."
It was a purposeful. There's no other word. There's no other word. It's a kick.
You were more offended by that than anyone I know. You were calling for suspensions.
Well, I don't understand how the referees. I don't think offended is the word. I don't understand how the refs can. They saw the play and they called a technical.
Yeah.
And then they go to the video monitor, which clearly shows he purposely shoves his foot into his groin, and they say, "Yeah, that's a tech. Keep playing."
Yeah.
Like, I'm not saying he should be. I'm not saying the NBA rule should be that you're ejected for that. I'm saying the NBA rule is you get ejected for stuff like that. Like, they eject people for all kinds of crazy things. Like, Whiteside got thrown out, and Lynn got thrown out of that game. Yeah. It just seems so obvious, a nationally televised game. They should have kicked the guy out, and then they didn't. They do after the fact.
When you put it that way, when you can kick someone in the balls, but you can't execute a double leg takedown.
That's what I'm saying. Thank you. That's what I'm saying.
I'll tell you what.
Whatever. You guys are gross. All I know is we haven't even talked. There's another conspiracy we talked about.
We haven't even talked about a conspiracy.
We haven't, but the one I really think the Rockets are going to win it all when Dwight Howard gets back and Daryl Morey eventually cuts Josh Smith.
Because you talked about this when they
that's how a team gets better.
They're keeping him around only to cut him at the finish line to shoot past everyone.
Yeah, that was the win.
It's like drafting in NASCAR.
Win percentage increase after trading Jay Smooth, I think it is.
That was it.
Yeah.
Whip a Jim and Schmall.
We're making a lot of post references. I hope everyone has been listening from the beginning of our show. Back in November.
We call that wins above replacement level after trading Jace move. Warps move.
Warps move.
The Rockets, again, they've lost a couple in a row, but they look so good, and they're really killing it. Honestly, Dwight Howard he's a great defender, and he's still a great rebounder. But them letting, like, Terrence Jones getting minutes is great.
I was about to say, Terrence Jones is the
and
real
Donas
story.
And Donas Moniunas is scoring. He's leading the NBA in hook shots made.
Ooh.
Although in the
sexy stat.
Although in the Grizzlies game, he actually was atrocious in the second half. He got annihilated by Z-Bo and the grown men, which are the Grizzlies' front line. But anyway, we'll talk more about that in the Grizzlies epilogue. But before we get to that, let's get to the awards segment of the week. This is the International Stackhouse of Pancakes Award, going to the worst performance in a box score. And real quickly, I'm going to run down all of our past winners. This is being the International Stackhouse of Pancakes Honor Roll. Lance Thomas, Chandler Parsons, Kobe Bean Bryant, Ryan Anderson, Jeremy Lin, Monte Ellis, Bradley Beal Bonus Honorary Award, Gerald Green, Michael Carter-Williams, Trey Burke, Michael Carter-Williams again, Kobe Bean Bryant again, DeMar DeRozan, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Kinsane Clown Posse.
Thank you. Thank you for going into the nicknames.
Lou Williams, Hollis Thompson, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope again, Carmelo Anthony, All-Star Edition, and then last week, Kyle Lowry. So there's a nice... That's our honor roll. This week, we have several nominees. I'm not including honorable mention Ty Lawson, 0 for 9, no points, because he got 9 assists. Dame Lillard, unsure. The committee was so confused by his game. He was 1 for 13. However, 18 rebounds, which is remarkable. So he's honorable mention. Now our nominees. Klay Thompson, in a loss to the New Jersey Brooklyn Nets.
Really weird game.
3 for 17. 7 points, 4 boards, 5 assists. So he kind of helped out, but 3 for 17, that might be the reason they lost.
Probably.
Welcome to your new team, Reggie Jackson. 5 for 24. Goal. 19 misses in a loss to the Knicks. Knicks been winning some games.
Oh, Knicks.
And then, actually, we get two more. Aaron Brooks, 2 for 15.
Been waiting for that Brooks line.
Yeah, Aaron Brooks, 2 for 15. I can't leave that out.
They'll be just fine without Derrick Rose.
Yeah, that's an apology for all of us. Aaron Brooks, 2 for 15, 6 points. And then, you don't see many guys on 10-day contracts make the Stackhouse nominee list because they're not supposed to shoot that much.
Is it
William Henry Walker, Frontiersman?
The ballad.
3 for 16.
He was so bad.
He is just fired. He has to have the most shots per 10-day contract. I haven't seen that stat, but he's just firing. So, all right, our nominees, Klay Thompson, 3 for 17. William Henry Walker.
Doesn't matter.
Excuse me, Mr. and Mrs. Walker.
Another conspiracy theory.
William Henry Sirhan Walker.
3 for 16. Reggie Jackson, 5 for 24. Aaron Brooks, 2 for 15, 6 points.
Boutros Walker.
What do you guys feel?
I vote Aaron Brooks.
Aaron Brooks, 2 for 15, 6 points is awful.
Yeah, I think Aaron Brooks works. I would love to see one Heat player get an award.
I think it should be William Henry Walker, and here's why.
You brought him in to shoot.
Why are you shooting so much?
Yeah. Well, he had a couple good games where he looked decent.
10-day contract guys are supposed to be deferential.
Yeah.
Kind of find their spots.
Not that guy.
Three for 16.
The Heat clearly go after very, very confident.
Right.
So I'm
tight players.
I'm voting Henry Walker. John's voting Aaron Brooks. Chuck, you get to decide.
I put my word there. I want it to be all Big Bank Hank. Henry Walker.
Big Bang Hank.
Bill Walker. Bill.
William Henry Walker. I don't know if you're going to get picked up for the rest of the season, but...
No, he signed another 10-day.
And I'm saying, but, yeah, I don't know if it's going to be... I'm just saying he has something to add to the resume. That's an ice shop winner.
There's no wing depth in Miami. He's going to play. But yeah, that's a good thing. Go put that on your shelf there, Billy.
All right, part fade away. What are we looking for?
Just want to see where the Thunder end up.
That's all that matters.
It's looking, as a Grizzlies fan...
It was quite scary.
It was looking scary, like it was going to be a 2-7. And now it looks like the Grizzlies are most likely going to hang on a 2. And it looks like the Mavs are more than likely going to fall to 7. Yeah. So that's good.
The Mavs are going to fall to 8.
I think it'll be fun to watch the last few seeds in the East.
That's what I'm saying. I'm watching it.
I don't think it's going to be terrible to see those guys fight it out.
The Pistons are slipping a little. Yeah. And it's one of those fun things where you have those six teams all so bunched up that you lose a couple games.
Big deal.
And it's a huge swap.
Yeah.
The Hornets took care of business. They went into the Brooklyn and just in a huge game for that playoff race, and they took care of business. So those games are fun to watch.
Yeah, I'm not even being a homer. I think if Wade's healthy, the Heat have the best chance, but that's betting a lot.
Right. The Heat are still, they're an interesting team to watch, with all those 10 days that are
weird. Tyler Johnson contracts.
I can't watch the Heat. I don't know how you guys do it. They are one of my least favorite teams to watch this year.
I think they're fun.
They're different. They're not incredibly appealing. Something about seeing if Whiteside keeps working and then seeing how Dragic fits in. That part has me right now intrigued where I watch their games. And I like just, rub my chin being
Whiteside here.
Why isn't this better?
Yeah. Why can't they figure that out? Well, I mean, I think obvious that Whiteside isn't getting enough touches in that offense.
I don't know if I agree.
I'm out on Spoelstra at this point.
I was bailing earlier, but it's not fair to him with McRoberts and Bosh out and really no rhythm.
Let's only pile on one coach at a time, and Randy Whitman deserves our attention.
Yeah, Randy Whitman's the worst.
The Wizards are just, that's crazy.
I mean,
they need to start at this point, if they don't pick it up, well, there's no way they don't make the playoffs, but maybe they can do, how many weeks are left in the season? 4 weeks? And then, and they're definitely going down in the first round, so they can start a 5 weeks left chant.
5 weeks left. It is funny how the Bucks have lost five in a row, but I think they've gained ground over the Nets and the Heat or whoever's chasing them.
So the my favorite ESPN Stats and Info puts them on Twitter. My favorite Wizard stat: the Wizards were the East number 2 seed at the end of play on January 27th, but since are tied with the Nuggets for the worst record in the NBA, 3-12. Since the end of January.
Right. A lot of mercy.
That's terrible. And really another team that we'd be remiss to not mention, we've gone this far. I know they're not in the playoff race, but the Utah Jazz have been good since the All-Star break. They have one of the best records in the league over their last, I think, 35 games or 36 games, because you can't be 500 over 35 games.
Right.
I think they're 17-17, maybe in the last 34. Yeah. They play great defense.
You can't blame those kids because Quinn Snyder's murder
they're trying.
Face.
His murder face inspires them.
it scares them.
Oh, my wife saw Quinn Snyder and was not happy.
She was scared, huh?
She was like, that guy looks horrible.
Make your baby cry.
I was like, I don't think I like how he looks.
Yeah,
I'll tell you,
he looks like a Swedish metal drummer.
Seems kind of handsome. He reminds me of that guy who's maybe in Ocean's 12. Yeah. Anyway,
I think that's Casey Affleck.
You're talking about the guy who steals everything.
He's in some foreign movies a lot.
Yeah, he's like a
I can't remember his name right now.
Jacques Merlot or something.
Anyway. Jean Reno.
Oh, by the way, we had to. There was a thing that we saw, the Rudy Gobert. Remember?
Oh, hell yeah.
There's this comedian, Joe Mandy, I don't know.
He's a big Timberwolves fan.
Yeah, but he put a clip of Rudy Gobert to the Clash's
Rudy Can't Fail.
Rudy Can't Fail, and it sounds exactly like Rudy Gobert, and I thought it was it. I even messaged him.
Right.
And he said that, no, it's an actual song. And he
well-known
calls,
song.
He calls Rudy Gobert Block Chirac. Which is my favorite French name. I was very happy with Stifle Tower, but Block Chirac is way funnier.
It's good. All right, so thank you for listening. Check us out on Twitter at Fast Break Break. For Keith, myself, and John and Chuck, thanks for listening. You guys have a good one. And remember, breakfast is the most important thing. All right, welcome to the Grizzlies epilogue. Interesting week for the Grizzlies. First of all, before we get to the games even, one thing I was not super happy with was the roster was finalized. We got to the point where you could no longer sign NBA players, and they decided who would be eligible for the playoffs. And I was really questioning, they didn't really shore up the backup power forward. Because we've been talking all year about how John Lure is terrible.
They think it's Lure time.
And I don't understand how such a veteran NBA team who is, quote unquote, going all in this season, why they would carry four D-League players.
Yeah.
Like they have Russ Smith, They have Jermichael Green, Jarnell Stokes, and I'm throwing in John Lohr. Like you have. I mean, without any comedy intended, they have two D League backup power forwards, and then John Lohr, and that seems crazy to me. That like I don't think any other legit playoff team is carrying this many quote unquote scrubs.
No, we really are one front court injury from disaster.
Like it's, and Zach Randolph is an old guy.
Yeah,
you know, like a tweaked ankle, and it's all over. And I guess you could argue that if he tweaks his ankle, they're not going to win the championship anyway, which is legitimate. But I just wish I don't know who out there was better, but it seems strange to, you know, go ahead and fill up that spot and be like, you know what, this is the best we can do. And if you look back all the way at the beginning of the season, being like, Lohr is good enough, when like we had plenty of evidence that he wasn't good enough because all the Grizzlies games are televised and you can see him play. So I was confused that this is, so part of me was pretty upset when that March 1st deadline came and they wrapped up Jermichael Green for the rest of the year. I mean, I don't know anything about Jermichael Green, so I can't say he's bad because I haven't seen enough of him to play. Like the bits I saw of Jarnell Stokes, I was unimpressed, and getting guys, I don't know, for the future seems strange. I wish they patched up the
roster. Green was average in the NFL. He was just okay.
Michael Finley.
Oh, Jermichael Finley?
Oh, God.
Jermichael Finley had that one good fantasy run, yeah, yeah. I think. Anyway.
What about that Marc Gasol murder dagger against the Rockets?
Well, we haven't got to the games yet.
Okay, no one knows how this works because I'm only here to watch.
And no one even cares because everyone got so obsessed with the Harden non-call that they glossed over one of the better daggers of the season.
Big time.
It's a buzzer beater where he got fouled.
Point one. Yeah.
And he chased down an errant pass to hit said buzzer
beater. It was so scary. So let's talk about the game. So it was such a strange week where they, previously where we recorded the podcast, they were looking up, but they just lost to the Kings. They'd beaten at Portland and at the Clippers, and you're feeling really good. And then they come home, they get crushed by the Clippers, and the offenses look terrible. So it's funny, before the Rockets game, we were honestly at like the nadir of the Grizzly season. For the first time, you're like, this team looks bad.
Oh, yes.
Jeff Green looks horrid. And I will say, Jeff Green, he only cuts when there's like a play run that he cuts on.
That it's
like
where a design play.
Like where Tony Allen is always moving and doing back cuts and getting open and getting weird, like surprising his defender. Jeff Green only cuts. He just sits over and like Rudy Gay is over on the corner. And then like,
I really thought Jeff Green was going to show up in the iShop awards after that game.
No, he didn't get enough attempts.
But he didn't make a single one.
Right, right. But, and to double down on the problem with Jeff Green not cutting on offense, on defense, he seems genuinely surprised when his man he's guarding makes a backdoor cut.
Yeah.
Like it's always like, oh, I got beat for a cut again. It's like, what are you doing, man? But he, again, I maintain bad Jeff Green is still like, Grizzlies can win with that. That's the whole point of upgrading that position. Like when he's good, they're going to win all their games pretty much. He hasn't been good that often.
He can't kill you because when he's poor, they just put Tony in more.
It's true. So then they follow up getting beat down by, what was it? Chirac block?
Sure, yeah. Block Chirac.
Yeah. So they got beat down by the Jazz and now everyone's really frantic and they have a second game of a back-to-back on the road at the Rockets who are getting back James Harden.
Quick statement though. If you're surprised that we lose to the Jazz, you're not watching enough because
right.
I just pencil in all Jazz games as losses.
It's like the Pelicans games last year. The Pelicans beat them. Like they couldn't.
They got a little like mini, you know, kind of grit and grind thing going down.
Well, they're a great defensive team.
Yeah. They play that kind of Grizzly basketball and they're younger and fresher legs. So this time of year, they're good.
And it wasn't surprising that a team, and the Grizzlies were shorthanded because Zach was out. Tony was suspended.
Oh, yeah. Can we talk about that?
Well, I mean,
that's so much more interesting than anything else.
Well, there's
not even a good story to it, really.
No, I mean, I heard Tony Allen wore Nick Calathes' skin in the layup line on Wednesday. That didn't happen?
Nick Calathes is playing scared these days after incident.
So what? Somebody give me a breakdown, a blow-by-blow of what happened. I know you read it, John.
The blow-by-blow is just that apparently Nick is a kidder. He's always kind of rubbed Tony the wrong way.
Right. Chirper, they call it.
And according to the, I heard Chris Vernon's show talk about it, and Chris Vernon was reporting that like practice was getting chippy, and in non-contact drills, maybe Nick popped him a couple times on screens, and then Tony got really angry. And then apparently the reason Tony got suspended is because he did not accept the calm down from the coaches.
Right.
So that was the...
So he kept going.
So Nick didn't get in trouble. You know, that's the competitive, you know, that stuff happens.
Yeah, you want that in practice.
But you know that this has started something bigger. You know, late at night, Nick Glazes looks out of his condo window and sees that murdered out black van outside of his... and Tony's coming for him. That's why Nick's been playing well.
The problem is Tony's van can't sneak up on anybody because that bass is just rumbling. You can hear that coming from Cordova.
Yo. Yeah.
Germantown.
Cordova shout out.
The
Hashtag don't go there.
Oh, yeah. That was a great thing. Did you see?
Oh, you like the weather report.
Oh, Tony Allen's weather report on
that
on
was
the
pretty
Grizzlies
funny. Webpage. I'm pretty sure he just improvised that, and then they added the stuff in later. I'm
pretty sure.
Because he was just like, North Memphis, rain. That was...
Cordova.
That was a shout out to the Grizzlies production crew.
That was really good.
That was a very funny...
I enjoyed it.
...in-game thing. I was going to say, Nick Kalathis, he is averaging, was it like 3.5 steals per 36?
Wow.
Which would be the first player since 94-95 to do that. I got that stat from someone who's blocked me on Twitter, so I can't say their name.
Oh, yeah, we can't even talk about that.
Can't even say
their
name.
Did you hear about this?
Was that Gary Payton that he's...
No. A Grizzlies stats and info guy blocked us, and I thought that was really strange to get blocked on Twitter, because our Twitter is honestly very positive. Like, my Twitter strategy is just to say nice things or make jokes.
He has to be a little...
And if someone disagrees, I don't even respond normally.
Right.
Because, like, someone was like, really angry that, like, this is unrelated to basketball, that the FCC had, like, told Comcast they couldn't be a monopoly and cities could build their own internet. Right. And the person was like, that's terrible. I'm like, no, it's great for individuals. And then he wrote back, like, do you want the government telling you what to do? I'm out. I'm out. Like, I don't even
Once
care
you
anymore.
Start saying government. No, but what was the...
So apparently, I ended up finding... I was actually looking for something else. And I got blocked because...
Who is the guy?
I don't want to say.
No, we have to.
Oh, at Ross Wooden.
We're going to call you out, Ross Wooden. There's shots fired,
son. At Ross Wooden, who I think works for the Grizzlies, he tweets out Grizzlies stats. And he wrote, Grizzlies Jeff Green is the first NBA player to win his first 8 starts with a new team since the Knicks' Pablo Prigioni in March-April 2013.
What a precedent.
To which I wrote, Least Profound Stats Award.
Oh.
To which I got a couple favorites. He tweeted out, this guy won his first 8 games. He's the first one to do it since what happened last year,
right,
with a below average NBA player.
With no one.
So I'm like, well, that's the most uninforming stat ever. So I take it as a joke. All my tweets are lighthearted. Right. But apparently, we got blocked.
I'm hoping Keith can learn a lesson from this.
First
honestly.
Of all,
what, don't be sarcastic?
You don't know him. And people with a few followers tend to get a little block happy. But...
don't even have that many followers. The followers is so low.
That being said, that guy, how do you think, how excited he got when he found that stat? You know what I mean? Like, he was digging through something.
Was he working hard?
Did that just pop up? You know,
is this the man tracking down like Elias Stats or stats.com?
Yeah,
I'm
pretty sure that was Ernie Johnson's Neato Stat of the Day, and he just plagiarized.
Hey Ross Wooden, here's the Neato Stat of the Day. In the last 2 years, the Grizzlies have the best record in the NBA on second games of back-to-backs on the road.
Are they playing tonight?
That and has is an informative yet. Stat, Chuck.
Right.
That, Chuck, actually gives you information. You're like, I wouldn't have thought that. They're an old team. Maybe they're veteran players. They can focus. They do good on the end of a road trip or on the second night.
Yeah.
Not this same thing happened last year with a below-average player.
Who stinks.
But does that mean this is a good thing or a bad thing?
Anyway, we want you to be our friend, Ross, but don't come at us with no bullshit.
You, Ross.
And the only way I found out that I was blocked was because I saw someone retweet a thing I thought was cool. It was it was about the Zach Randolph half-court shots, and I retweeted it. And it's like, retweet doesn't work. And I was like, that's weird. And then I clicked on the guy, and I'm like, what in the world am I blocked? I'm blocked for saying Least Profound Stats Award. That's a funny thing.
Well, here's this, anyway. Ross. Keith, now, when he wants to know your stats, is just going to ask me, hey, look up that beep Ross's stats.
Well, actually,
and tell me what he says.
I wasn't sure who he was. Like, you know, because I follow a lot of people. I'm like, why has this guy blocked me? So I used one of my hundreds of other Twitter accounts just to look at the guy.
Disgusting.
You know, I'm like, oh, he's just the stats guy. Like, I don't know. Anyway,
that's so much fun.
That is fun. it made me really happy when I saw why I got blocked, because I was like, wow.
Oh, well, it was
that is a
thing.
Thin
that was
skin.
A very very smart and cutting response to that probably 20 minutes of work.
He might have worked hard. So I am sorry. I'm sorry, Ross. I didn't mean to belittle your work. I like your work, but shout out. Maybe
hey, you Chuck guys, and I are not sorry.
You guys,
no,
you
if
guys
I see you in them streets, son.
You guys
run.
Follow Ross Wooden. He's a good guy.
See you in Cordova.
Oh, coming after you.
So the Grizzlies now look locked into that two seed because the Rockets win, which again, if the refs call the foul on James Harden.
Yeah.
Because the Grizz got up 12 with like 3 minutes to go, and then the Grizz grizzed away the lead. And if James Harden gets that foul call, which honestly, it didn't look like a foul when it happened. Mm-hmm. Game speed does look like a foul.
Yeah.
Slow-mo, clearly, absolutely 100% a foul. If he hits those free throws and the Grizzlies lose, that's now a double loss. The Rockets have the tiebreaker. The Rockets are a half game back. The Grizzlies probably, you know, could easily fall to third, face the Thunder in the sixth spot.
No,
that call,
ma'am.
That call isn't made. The Grizzlies now 2.5 up on the Rockets. They're now tied. So depending on conference record, I believe they'll have the tiebreaker. So
they
now they
it,
look
they have it right now.
So now they look locked into the two. And the way the Thunder with their injury problems looked like the Mavs shouldn't drop five games in with 25-20 to go. So it looks like they're going to play the Mavs, which is best case scenario, pretty much.
Right. Yes.
So you can feel good.
Yes.
About that.
Yeah. Oh, you dodged a bullet.
Dodged a bullet.
Huge bullet.
Yeah.
Huge bullet.
I think that wraps us.
Yeah, it's good.
So that was a little brief. You got the story of our the only block.
The weird Twitter
we
beef
know.
We got.
Weird Twitter beef. I mean, Quincy Pondexter following us. That concerned us.
That was worried. We still check outside our windows for Quincy.
I'm closing the blinds.
Closing the blinds in case
so
him or Jerry Stackhouse or Javaris Crittenden.
He's on
by.
Bourbon Street now.
All right, guys. Thank you for listening to the Grizzlies epilogue. Check us out on that Twitter. If you get offended, we're just... Read it lightly. It's a lighthearted... Everything we say is lighthearted.
Ask us what's up.
Lighthearted. Anyway, you guys have a good one. Thank you for listening.
Arrive safely.